Verse number 26, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. You can back up in verse number 24, and the Bible said in the latter part of verse 24, he talks about the Lord, but it says, but in the heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Then in verse number 28, it says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sin of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. In these verses that we have read, there is a common word found in these verses, and that word is the word appear. Now I want to try to play on that word if I can and give you the thoughts the Lord has dealt with our heart from this passage of Scripture. The word appear, the appearing of Christ, if we could consider that thought this morning. Here in our text in verse number 27, we are told that it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. After what? After death. And so we understand that there are many judgments in the Word of God. And as we would travel from the book of Genesis all the way through to the book of Revelation, we know that the subject of judgment covers a vast amount of material in the Word of God. However, when we think of the judgment of God, primarily our focus is narrowed down to a couple of different events that await us in the future. We know that the children of God, those that die in the Lord, will one day stand at the judgment seat of Christ. It is there that we'll stand before what men have called in the past the Bema seat. It's there where Jesus, amen, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, will confront his saints, the church of the Lord Jesus, with not only the works that they have done as they have been about the Father's business in their life, but also the specific work that Christ has required and given them gifts to fulfill in their life. The Bible says in the book of Corinthians that every man's, M-A-N apostrophe S, work singular will be brought on trial in that day. And so it's not really how much you do. It's not the size of the work that you accomplished in your life as a child of God, but it is the sort of work that we are brought in to view in those verses. But yet we do understand that at that same place, the judgment seat of Christ, that there will be a time where our works, whether they be good or bad, that we have done in this body, that will be brought under judgment in that day. You won't stand before the preacher that day. You won't stand before your mother and father in that hour. You won't stand before some government official or some judge of the earth. But in that day, you'll stand before the Lord Jesus, and you will look at him who was slain before the foundation of the world. You will view the one that died for your sin and shed his life's blood to give you eternal life. And it will be in his presence that you will stand and give an account of the life that you have lived and the things that you have done with the will of God that day. Now, you may argue with me this morning, and you may argue with your parents this morning, and you may present a case to anyone that may represent a figure of authority in your life today, but there will be no argument in that day, amen. There will be no debate in that hour. You will stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and you will stand there at that Bema seat in light, amen, of the gospel of the Lord Jesus that brought salvation to your soul and what you have done with the will of God for your life. Did we know that after death there is another judgment, and that judgment is the great white throne? We could go to Revelation and we could read about that throne, that great white throne where men will stand one day when the heaven and the earth has fled away and there is no room for them. And they will stand that day at the great white throne, and the books will be open. And everything that every man has ever done in this life will be recorded, or will be opened up before him as it has in the past been recorded in that book. But then as those books are opened up, amen, to unveil man's life, how wicked he's been, or maybe what kind of citizen he has been in the community that is around him, there will be a book that's open. And in that book that is open, if your name is not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, no matter how much you have done, no matter how far you have went, no matter what kind of citizen that you have been, no matter how faithful you have been to a religious dogma, no matter how good you have been in your life, if your name is not written in that book, then judgment will fall. And may I say to you that there will be men that will stand in that day and be surprised that their name is not in that book. You look at the phrase, and this is what Matthew indicates to us. Jesus said, did we not cast out devils in thy name? They're not making a case. They are overwhelmed with surprise. Did we not do many wonderful works in thy name? Did we not cast out devils in thy name and do many wonderful works? He says, depart from me, I never knew you. The motive that they were doing what they were doing were wrong. The intent of their heart was wrong. Everything about what they had done, yes, they done it, but everything about all the work they done was wrong. It was motivated wrong. It did not have the right purpose. And they will stand that day in surprise that their name, Brother Chris, is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but it's not there. And there's nothing they can do, amen, at this point to get it taken care of. When you stand before the judgment seat of Christ and you consider the specific will of God for your life and the purpose and plan that God has for you, not the will of God for someone else. It's amazing to me how we put ourselves in a position often to be judged by the gifts and faith and will of God in the lives of others. I'm going to tell you something tonight. I'm not going to give an account of the deeds done in my body and the will of God in my life as being, amen, a part of the youth detention program. I'm the pastor of this church. I'm not going to give an account in my body as to whether or not I run the sound right or played the piano to the best of my ability or led the choir like I should. I'm not going to give an account in my body in the will of God as to whether or not I was the deacon or whether or not I sang in the trio or I sang in the choral group. I have a specific place in the body of Christ, and that is my place. And I settle in that place to do the will of God and to serve the Lord with my life. And I will stand before him one day and give an account. And I promise you this morning, as Brother Jones said, and it's amazing that he made these statements in what I've dealt with in the last few weeks. But Brother Jones made this statement. He said, when you take a look at the men that have secured the heritage that we enjoy as the people of God, and you consider the loss that they went through and the suffering and all the shame and all they faced in their life, the trifle issues that we come to the man of God with and the trifle matters that seem to distract us and get us off track of serving God seem to be irrelevant in view of those men that we will one day stand with at the judgment seat. But I'm telling you, after death comes judgment, friend. And you may get it all appeased and all satisfied in your mind here, and you may excuse every sin you commit, and you may offer an excuse for the condition your heart is in this day, today, and you may blame everybody and point fingers in every direction. And I'm telling you, in the last several weeks, I've dealt with things, and I stand in awe at the people who cannot see where they're at, see the sin they're in, and the excuse they make for it, and the fingers they point. It astounds me. But in this day, judgment will be a reality. Amen. And I want to ask you tonight or this morning if you'd be interested in settling out of court. Amen. I wonder if anybody would be interested in settling out of court this morning. You ever heard of that? I'm telling you, there's going to be a day here in these verses that there is going to be a courtroom setting. There is going to be a judge that sits at a bema seat. There is going to be a judge that will sit at the great white throne. And once that judgment, have you ever heard of people, amen, trying to make some kind of plea bargain to keep from having to face the judge? I wonder this morning if you're willing to settle out of court. I've heard story after story of attorneys advising men, and in their advice they would say, look, I can probably work out a deal if you're willing to admit to some things and maybe tell on somebody else or give us some valuable information about where the root of this problem is, I can get you off for a whole lot less. But if you go before the judge and you step into the courtroom, there's nothing I can do for you. Right now, before the court, amen, convenes, or before they gather together and the jury is in place and the judge is in his seat, if we can do something before then, I can help you. But if the judge sits down and the gavel rings out and everybody is still and quiet in the courtroom, there's nothing I can do for you. And you can settle out of court this morning. And that settling out of court revolves around the word appear in these verses. In verse 26, the Bible said, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And so when I think of this period of time, and there is so much depth in this verse that it goes far beyond my ability to preach this morning and probably your ability to understand. But I'm telling you, this aspect of redemption that we see in this verse, and we could call it this, the plan of redemption and the period of time that revolves around this plan of redemption, it reached far beyond the foundation of the world. Because you see, man's sin affected the world that God created in its splendor and in all of its beauty. When man sinned in the garden, he brought a curse upon the world. But you need to understand that the plan of redemption in verse 26 involves the ability for man before the foundation of the world that has sinned and transgressed the law of God has given him the ability to settle out of court. Jesus died on the cross. It wasn't something that the Lord just figured out he would do about 2,000 years ago, because everything else had failed. When man was in innocency, when man was governed by his conscience, when human government in the days of Noah stepped on the scene, and when promise came to Abraham and the law came to Moses, and it seemed like in all those agreements that God had made with man that none of those agreements was working out, and the covenants and dispensations seemingly were falling apart, that God all of a sudden come up with a better idea and he would send Jesus to die for the sins of the world because everything else had failed. Oh no, friend, before the foundation of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, was planned and purposed to secure redemption for man that had fallen in sin long before there was even sin for him to fall into. The only way you can settle out of court this morning is to realize that Jesus, before the foundation of the world, appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. You see, what our problem is today is we want a salvation that will deal with our guilt. We are looking for a salvation this morning that will cover up who we are and what we have done. We are looking for a salvation that will let us be accepted with others. This generation of Christianity, Baptist included, they're looking for a salvation that will let everybody be friendly and everybody accepted and everybody cordial and everybody to get along. But I'm gonna tell you what, the salvation that Jesus provided through the plan of redemption that was established before the foundation of the world was a salvation, are you listening to me, that was designed for one purpose. That was to put away sin. Amen. Does anybody this morning have any interest at all in sin being put away in your life? Amen. We don't want sin to be put away. We want sin, amen, to be just covered. And we want to be able to toy with it and play with it. But we're not looking for a salvation that deals with sin. It's amazing how we cover coat world in this and how we appease our mind with sin and ungodly things and worldly things. Amen. When we understand that Jesus Christ died, it was sin that nailed him to the cross. It was fornication that put him to death. It was adultery that put him to death. It was thievery and lying and deception and malice and jealousy and envy and strife and contention and ungodliness and covetousness that nailed him to the cross. Amen. And if you think for a minute this morning that the Lord God of heaven is going to overlook sin just because you name the name of Christ, you're wrong. Well, you can settle out of court this morning, but you're going to have to go to a hill far away where stands an old rugged cross. It's an emblem of suffering and shame, but it's an emblem where the Lord Jesus dealt with sin. And I'm telling you, I'm amazed at how we have got such a mindset that is warped and twisted about worldliness and wickedness. I'd settle out of court this morning. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, you may stand at a judgment bar of God one day and you may say, did I not cast out devils? Did we not do many wonderful works in thy name? Did I not go to church faithful on Sunday? Lord, did I not read my Bible? Lord, did I not memorize verses? Lord, did I not give my tithe? Lord, did I not sing in the choir? I don't know what you'll be so surprised about at the great white throne of judgment, but there will be men that are surprised that their name is not written down. And it's not very difficult to figure out who it is and why when you consider the motive and the heart behind everything they do. I had some folks in the years of pastoring, and I had a family that was kind of, spearheaded some things in our life as a pastor, helped us, along the way. They saw some things we needed and they went out and encouraged the church to be a blessing to us. And I praise the Lord for it. Amen. I never asked the church for anything, but they'd buy some things and they would promote it and what have you. And then when all of it come to a head, they wanted to throw all that up in front of my face. And I, after that happened, I went to one of the men of the church. I said, I don't want this church to ever do anything for me again unless you are behind it. Because I'm not going to sit down and listen to somebody throw something up in my face because they, the ones that recommended, they give me a raise or buy a radio or do whatever the case may be. I said, the motive of all that was ungodly and wicked. The motive behind it all was wicked. Well, I've done this and I've done that. Well, you want me to tell you what I've done? I've cut the grass in the middle of the night with headlights so the house of God be presentable in the next day. Are you listening to me? And done it with a bad attitude. And I might as well let the grass be neck high to a giraffe, because there ain't going to be no reward for it. Amen. I've done a lot of things because no one else would do it and stomped in here and done it with a bad attitude. Amen. And I'm going to tell you what, buddy, our motive and our intention and our heart is to be toward God in all that we do. Had people in this church get upset because they hadn't been recognized for something they've done. And I've never done that. I've never put anybody's name on anything. Amen. You listening to me? It ought to be done with the right heart and the right motive. And if you do it for recognition or praise, then there's something wrong with your heart. And you'll stand before the Lord and you'll say, Lord, did I not sing in the choir? He's not going to answer that question. Lord, did we not do many things for you? We were at the cleaning on Saturday with the ladies and worked as hard as anybody did. Did we not do that, Lord? No answer comes. Were we not there when they painted the building, when they put on the roof, when they did the trim? Lord, was I not there playing the piano? Was I not in the girls' chorus? Was I not in the men's choral group? Was I not in the youth choir? Lord, was I not there? An answer never comes. He just says, depart from me, for I never knew you. The fact that they would even throw that up is an indication that there's a deep-rooted problem. I'd settle out of court this morning if I was you and realize that before the foundation of the world, Christ died for the sins of mankind. And salvation and the grace of God will change your entire outlook and attitude about who you are and what you're doing and why you're a part of what you're doing. Amen. The plan of redemption. You can settle out of court. The plan of redemption. I'm going to stop right there. I have two other thoughts, but I believe I need to quit right there. I may finish tonight, Lord. We'll just have to see what the Lord wants. But when we think about getting settled where we're at, you're going to have to understand that there was a period of time that encompassed this work of redemption. And that's since the foundation of the world. But now the fullness of time has come. God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. And He's come to die on the cross for the sins of the world. And I want to ask you a very important question this morning. That question revolves around your standing and state with God. What would you say this morning if He said, Cole, 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 and He'll not do this because that's frailty and weakness in itself. No Jim Cole here. I've seen the books. Seen the things you done. But here in the book of life, there is no Jim Cole. There must be some mistake, Lord. I was a deacon at the Pleasant View Baptist Church. I was there early on Sunday morning and made sure all the Sunday school classes was ready every week. I stood there before them and opened up the Word of God and read to the people. I read the Bible to the people. I took my skills, Lord, and the things that I knew how to do when we were working, I took those skills, Lord, and I tried to use them for the body of Christ. Is that the argument that would be made this morning? Is that where you would go? What would you say? Wait a minute, Lord, something must be wrong. I was a member of the church since I was a kid. I went to school there. I didn't cause any trouble. I made good grades. What would you say? Where's the attitude? Or would it be, Lord, I've done nothing. I bring nothing in my hand that would merit the grace of God. But in my home, I bowed beside my bed one night and I called on you to save my soul. And you said in your word, if I would come to you, that I would be no wise would I be cast out. And he said, oh, wait a minute, here he is right here. Amen. You listening to me? Where would you run? Would you run to a place where you saw Jesus dying for your sins? Would you run to a place where you give your heart to God and confess your sin before Him and repented, and God did a marvelous work in your heart and in your life, and you bring nothing in your hands before Him? It's simply to the cross I cling, Lord. I have nothing to offer. I have nothing to give. All I know is once I was lost, but now I'm found. You'd be amazed at the same picture that's seen in a church when things happen in the lives of people. It's amazing as a pastor the times I've sat down with people in 20-something years and they start rehearsing what they have done. It's almost as if I get a fast forward to the great white throne of judgment. And they're trying to justify themselves and all that they have done by what they have done in the flesh. But I'm going to tell you something. If you come to a realization that you are nothing outside of Christ and Calvary, and that you're of all men most miserable without the mercy and grace of God, you can get that settled out of court this morning. You can get that settled out of court this morning by repenting of your sin right now before the judge takes his seat and before everybody gathers together and your name is called to approach the stand. You can settle it this morning. You can give your heart to Jesus. And all the things you bring on the platter of human merit will be laid aside. And your attitude and your heart and your purpose and all your resolve and motive behind what you do will change in a moment. I'm going to tell you something. God has given me the privilege to be a part of this work. And I thank God for it. Amen. I can honestly say this morning, I have never been jealous of anyone else that I know of in my life. I've always been thankful for other pastors. They pastored bigger churches. They had more security. And I thank God for blessing them. And I'm telling you what, I pastored this church a whole lot longer with 20 and 30 and 40 people than I have with this crowd that's here this morning. And I'm going to tell you what, it could all end in a moment of time. Nobody in this building has a more insecure position than I do. I mean, I'm told in the Bible that sin's going to wax worse and worse, and to see men's going to be deceived. They're going to heap themselves teachers having itching ears, and they're going to be turned unto fables. And the Bible says that there's going to be a great falling away. You listen? But I could be at home tomorrow and know that all of I've done is, the Lord knows my heart, all I've done, I've tried to do because of His saving grace in my life. And I would not bring it before Him or anyone else for some merit or for some consolation, because it's nothing. It's nothing in light of what He has done for my soul.
Amen.
Amen.